were busy doing other things, God was raising Jesus from the dead and ministering to others all around the world through his Holy Spirit and ministering to all of us while we're here right in God's midst. John 20 is a story of how Jesus was resurrected and what it means to all of us. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying to the side. Then the other disciple also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't realized that the scriptures said he would rise from the dead. Then they went home. Sometimes we forget the scriptures from time to time when we go through hard times, right? Sometimes we forget the promises of God when we're in the midst of a trial, when we're in the midst of a problem, when we're in the midst of a pandemic, when we're in the midst of trouble and calamity and wars and rumors of wars and hatred and all the things that we see that the world has going on all the time in our own personal lives, some of the things we fight with, the addictions some of us have, the ways in which we don't always relate to one another in a loving, kind way. And we forget the scriptures that God can change us, God can heal anything, and God can resurrect us and change our lives. So just like the disciples, sometimes we have to be reminded of what the scriptures said. We know and believe and trust that Jesus said in 3 days he'd rise again. He knew what he was about to face, but he also knew his God. He also knew that regardless of what people might think is the end of something, he knew there was always going to be a new beginning, a new start, a new life, a new way. That there is absolutely no end to life. There's only everlasting life. And love is the thing that endures before all in all things. That love endures forever as well. And so we sometimes forget the scriptures as those disciples do. So just know you're human from time to time. And that's why once a year when we have Easter sunrise and the Easter service like we do, we're going to remind you of the scriptures that Jesus rose from the dead. And then John went in and he saw and he believed. Maybe he had all of a sudden that aha moment. Wait a minute. He said he was going to rise from the dead. He said the temple would be broken down and in 3 days it would rise up again. And then he understood it wasn't a literal temple. It was the temple of Jesus Christ and that he would rise again. And so those two disciples were witnesses to the empty tomb. And most of us don't like the word empty, do we? We like to have full things, don't we? Full bank account, full meals, full situations in all of our lives. We don't like to empty, do we? Or be empty, do we? But see, here's the thing. There's no such thing as emptiness with God. Because when there's an empty place in us, when there's something that we finally release and empty out of ourselves, when we allow ourselves to let all those things go that plague us in our mind and in our heart and in our emotions and all the things that we humans tend to do, when we empty ourselves out, what does that make room for? More of God, right? The Holy Spirit moves in and God moves in. So empty is an okay thing. And aren't you glad that the tomb was empty? What does that mean? He rose from the dead. He was alive again. Just like Lazarus that came out of the tomb, only the thing of it is Lazarus died again. After that, we know Jesus never died after his resurrection. Keep that in mind. Because he is the resurrection and the life. And everyone who believes in him, even though they perish, they shall live forever, just like Jesus, because he's the very first to rise from the dead in that same way. See, it was Jesus that rose Lazarus, right? So he needed an outside person. Now, guess what? When we have Christ in us, we are a resurrected person, are we not? Because that Holy Spirit that lives in us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So guess what? We live again too, don't we? throughout all of our life and even all the way through eternity. Pick up the story. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stood and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, so I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Then she gave them the message. So what do we see here? We see that Peter and John have gone into the tomb, then they've gone back home. And Mary stays behind at the tomb. She's wondering in her mind, what did they do with Jesus? She can't imagine what could have happened to him. She wanted to care for him. She was so close to him in a relationship with him. And she couldn't wrap her mind around the fact that he was gone from her sight and gone forever. She had followed him. He had taken seven demons out of her. She became a new person as a result of being with him. And she was a changed woman. And she could not live without this Jesus. She knew that. And she was so concerned that maybe the Pharisees had taken his body and was going to do some more harm to it or something. But what do we see transpire? We see the gardener there first, and then she asks him, "Where did you put him? I'm going to go find him." You know, she's ready just in her mind. She's like, "If you took him somewhere, I'll go get him. Give him back to me." But then we see someone else behind her that she doesn't recognize, and it's Jesus. In every moment of all of our lives, when we think we've lost something or someone, or we feel as though we've lost that relationship with God somehow because other things have gotten in the way and have replaced those things, or sometimes we feel as though we can't get near God for whatever reasons and our own selves blocks away because of what we think of ourselves, just imagine what God does every single time, all the time. As also happened with Jesus in this situation. He comes up behind her and says, "Why are you crying? What's going on?" And then she speaks out her hardship, her grief, her sorrow, her fear, her worry to him. And then he calls her by name in the way that the shepherd calls all the sheep by name. And he says, "Mary." And just because of the way he spoke her name, she recognized his voice. And of course, in that moment, her eyes were open because of what she heard, that gentle whisper of her name and the relationship that was so personal between her and him, that she was, in that moment, realized, it's the teacher, it's my rabbi, it's my friend, it's my savior, he's alive. Jesus Christ steps into all of our lives all the time, particularly in the darkest moments of our life, particularly when we feel as though all hope is gone, or we try to figure out how we're going to work out the circumstances of our life, and our mind just races, and we think, and we overthink, and we overthink, and we think some more, and then we think some more. And in the midst of that emotional mess we sometimes get ourselves into, Jesus Christ is going to speak your name in the quietness of your prayers, in the times when you're in the hospital or at the hospital, or you're at your wit's end in what's going on in your life, when you feel lost and when you feel alone and there's nobody else around you. There he comes. He's a risen Savior to the point that his spirit can be everywhere all the time now. When he was walking around as the human that he was, he could only travel to so many cities and towns. Remember, he was limited by his physical body. But now that he's been resurrected, the Holy Spirit, which is God is spirit and God is life, The Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ can visit every one of you all the time, any time of day, day or night. No matter what situation you find yourself, He's there for you. He can change you. He can help you grow. He's in the midst of that. And He can resurrect whatever's going on in your life just like He was resurrected Himself. But now He can also have that personal relationship with each and every one of you whenever any of you need it. Now, I know you only think that the time that you can reach God is on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. here in the property. Or maybe through the Facebook page, through prayer. Or when you hear one of us pastors expounding on all of our theological wisdom. That's a time that you think, okay, that's God speaking to me. But I want to tell you this. Each and every one of you, all of us, have the ability at any given moment to speak to Christ, to call Him. And more importantly, I also believe when you're at your dire, most darkest moments, and I've been there, and I know many other people have, multiple times, in that midst of that pain, that sorrow, that hurt, that worry, whatever it is, that crisis, suddenly there's this person walking beside that you have this sense about. And something inside you feels a sense of peace. And then you know you're not walking alone at all. Jesus Christ Himself is walking right beside you. And then He reminds you, I'm here. And more importantly, I'm here inside all the time. So like Mary, you and I have access to God 24/7, 365. You good with that? You like that? Isn't that good news this morning? So if you can't reach a pastor and you go to voicemail or you text us and we don't answer back and like instantaneously, call on Jesus. In fact, I believe He's already there for you. We have to become more and more aware of it. The way you hear His gentle voice, the more you spend time with God alone, you'll also hear His voice and recognize it. Later on that same day, there were two disciples that had heard about Mary Magdalene and all the people understanding that Jesus had risen from the dead, but they didn't believe the story. They thought it was nonsense. And so they left Jerusalem and they went down the road towards Emmaus and they were heading out of Jerusalem away from the empty tomb, away from the disciples, away from everybody. And while they're walking, leaving, all of a sudden Jesus comes walking up beside them. Hey, boys, what are you doing? Where are you going? It's in the book of Luke if you want to read it later. And He begins to tell them all about Himself. While they had told them what had happened to Him and why they lost their faith, why they just, you know, they heard the stories that Jesus had risen, but they just couldn't believe it. It was too fantastic a story. And there are some people today that don't believe the story that we're telling today. But we're going to keep telling it so that you can hopefully begin to believe it. And then once you begin to believe it, God's going to continue to show up in your life in other ways to prove who God is. So while they're walking along, He tells them all about the prophets and all about how the fact that He came to save us all and He defeated death. And then He sits down with them and they take Him home and they invite Him home for the night. It's kind of cool when you think about it. Anybody here have Jesus overnight at your house? Jesus is there, hopefully in your house all the time unless you want to shoo Him out from time to time. But they go home with Him, and then He takes some bread, and He breaks it open, and their eyes are opened. They remembered the Last Supper. They remembered the Passover meal. They remembered Him saying, "This is My body broken for you and for all people. This is the cup of My blood, the new covenant for everlasting life, for forgiveness of sins for everybody." And their eyes are wide open. And as soon as they realized who it was, poof, He disappeared. See, even those two disciples needed a reminder of who Jesus is and was and will always be. So this morning, I don't know if you feel it, but I always feel when we're gathered together, I know that two or more gathered, He's amongst us. That's what the scriptures tell us. And I think sometimes as we've gone through this past year and as we'll go through more things throughout our life, not just on Easter Sunday do we need to be reminded that we serve a risen Savior. We serve a God who can do the impossible. We do a God that's working even while you're sleeping. In the time that the disciples, the Pharisees, all together, and Jesus was speaking about his body and his blood and saying, eat of this and you'll live forever, and they didn't quite understand it. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to serve you anyway. He said, my Father's always working and so am I. And so he predicted what would happen to him later on, that he gave his body up for the body of Christ, for all of us. So this morning, we're going to share that same meal. So if you're a person that doesn't always believe in some of the things about you, that how you fit into the kingdom of God, this is an open table, and it's an open invitation. Because I know and believe and trust that Christ is here right now, as always, living inside of all of us, but particularly his Holy Spirit presence is flowing through this service right here, right now. And so as we have communion this morning, that's that Last Supper I'm talking about, I hope your eyes are opened up to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that each of us can have eternal life forever. He died on the cross so we could always and all for all time be forgiven. One sacrifice for all time. All your sins have been forgiven. That in and of itself is great news, is it not? And we no longer have to fear shame, guilt, pain, or death any longer, because we believe he is the resurrection and the life, and he who lives eternally also lives inside of all of us. So my prayer is this morning that whatever you're going through, as we have this communion time, body of Christ, his blood, the new covenant of everlasting life. That means our sins are forever gone, and there's a new covenant, a promise that's unbreakable that God has for all of us. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting love, all the things we could ever imagine or dream of. No one is ever going to be able to take Jesus away from you. That's my prayer. And though people may try to lie to you or make you think otherwise, when you receive this communion this morning, I pray that your eyes are open to the beautiful blessing that you are to God. He loved you so much. You, all of you, every last one of you. You do not have to do one thing perfect again. Good news? Good news? You can mess up and be forgiven again. Good news? Good news. So you don't have to earn it. It's a free gift. I hope your eyes are opened to the love that Christ gave through his death on the cross and all of his teachings. And just like Mary, he calls you by name and says, I'm here. I'm always here. I'll always be here. I'll be here forevermore. That, my friends and family, I pray, gives you peace of heart and mind that will last forever. Amen? Amen. Amen.